So Democratic senators have used the nuclear option, a much-threatened change in rules that will allow Democrats to break a filibuster on presidential appointments with just a simple majority instead of 60 votes. You will remember, or will have been reminded over the past few days, that this dismantling of the filibuster rule has been threatened before, not only by Democrats during the Obama administration, but also, famously, by Republicans during the Bush administration. And while a glacial pace of confirmation has applied to all of Obama's appointees, it was the question of federal judges that brought the matter to a head, just as it was during the Bush administration. So what are we talking about when we talk about judges? While the phrase federal judge that is routinely used in news accounts is accurate enough, it is not nearly as specific as it ought to be. There are two types of non-Supreme Court judicial appointments at stake, and they are different enough that it is worth noting. The federal court system is three-tiered, with the Supreme Court at the top, but the nuclear option does not change the filibuster rule for high court nominees, only for the lower two. At the base of this system is the United States District Court. This is the federal trial court, so these judges are like those that we're used to seeing represented in popular culture, ruling on motions, instructing a jury, taking pleas, except in this case they're dealing mostly with federal and constitutional law, not rape and murder and domestic disturbances. These are important positions, to be sure, and because we're dealing with lifetime appointment, worth scrutiny. But it is the next level up that is the real sticking point with senators. Judges at the circuit courts of appeals do not preside over trials. Instead, they act more like what we traditionally associate with Supreme Court justices. They sit, usually with two other judges, and hear the arguments of appellate lawyers on sometimes esoteric points of federal and constitutional law. Circuit courts are seen as little Supreme Courts, operating as the de facto court of last resort for their particular areas. In the absence of Supreme Court rulings on particular subjects, and there is a lot of absence of Supreme Court rulings on certain subjects, circuit court decisions bind major geographical areas and can also heavily influence courts outside their jurisdiction. Take, for example, last year's concealed carry case heard by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, covering Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. A 2-1 decision, the majority interpreted Supreme Court jurisprudence, which had not specifically touched on this subject, to find that the Second Amendment to the Constitution guarantees the right of its citizens to carry guns for protection outside the home. The two judges in the majority are Reagan appointees. The one in the minority is a Clinton appointee. Now, there is some debate within political science and law whether ideology at the circuit court level has a greater impact than ideology at the district court level. I won't get into that argument, but will rather note only that politicians and advocacy groups think that circuit court appointees have a greater impact than district court appointees, so that's what matters. 8 years ago, when it was Republicans threatening the use of the nuclear option because they felt Democrats were being intransigent, President Bush was lagging behind President Clinton in successfully appointed judges of both types. But it was circuit court justices that really mattered. There was a conciliatory coalition of 14 senators who eventually broke the impasse, and by the end of his second term, Bush had appointed 61 courts of appeals justices to Clinton's 62. On the other hand, Bush appointed only 261 district court judges to Clinton's 306. As you might guess, it was three Obama circuit court justices being filibustered by Republicans that finally convinced Democrats to change Senate rules. I'm Travis McDade.